All right, let's just jump in. Oops, go like that. So what are you searching for? Where are you looking? Could be I'm searching for what I'm going to do. I'm searching for where I should go. Should I? Shouldn't I? Maybe when we're searching, we just kind of go with the flow. We try to find our way. Find ourselves, find our fame, find our fortune. Whether we know it or not, we're all following something or someone to find what we are searching for. It's in our nature to search for more. There's probably a question or questions hanging over most of you right now in your lives, in your situations. Whether we really are aware of it or not. Sometimes it's even hard to identify what is the question in my life right now. I've heard some say, I wish God would just put a big sign up in the sky so I know what to do. Amen. Yeah, that would be so easy, wouldn't it? Our lives get consumed with searching. So as we've already seen here today, we are in this moving into the season of Advent, and our theme for this year as a church is searching. Advent is leading up to the time of Jesus' birth. It means coming, a time of preparation, but it also can be a time where we're waiting, where we're looking, where we're searching, where we're seeking more. And so as we begin this season, we're going to begin in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to focus today on verses 8 to 20. And before we begin, I just want to pray again. Thank you, Miguel, for the prayers. But I just feel led that I need to pray specifically, because as we read this section in Luke, it's going to sound very familiar to some of us. And I don't want us to lose what sounds familiar for what may be new that God has for us in it. So I'm just going to pray that over us right now. Lord Jesus, I pray for something new and something fresh to be revealed to us today out of what may be familiar words. But they are your words, and so we ask for your words to come alive. Give us something new today, Lord Jesus, that we may know you, that we may know you and just not receive more information. I pray that we see you today in a new way. Amen. So the context in which we are looking at Luke 2, verses 8 to 20 today, the first seven verses of that chapter, which are really the most important part, but we're not going to dwell on that today. But in the first seven verses there, it's where we have the context of the birth of Jesus. We see Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem because they had to go for a national registration. And it's because of that that Jesus is born in Bethlehem. And so as we pick up this story in verse 8, that's the context of what's happening in Bethlehem. But as we focus on verses 8 to 20, I want us to see three things, or three parts of searching for guidance. There's the listening, there's the follow, and the know. We're going to listen, we're going to follow, and we're going to know. So this first section, the listen. In the first verses of Luke 2, 8 to 20, we're going to look at 8 to 14. And in this section, read along with me on the screen or listen as I read. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. Sounds familiar. But what do we see here? What do we see here? It begins in the same region. This is an important little note, because in the same region there were shepherds. These weren't shepherds to ordinary sheep, because we're talking about, you have the city of Jerusalem where the temple is. You have Bethlehem that is not that far from the city of Jerusalem. So Mary and Joseph are in Bethlehem, and it says in the same region you have shepherds. The reason they were in the region is that they were shepherds of sheep that were used in temple service, in the sacrifice in the temple. These sheep were destined to be sacrificed in the temple, which is the only reason these shepherds were close to Bethlehem. And normally the shepherds and the sheep were out in what they called the wilderness, or further out. But in this region we have the shepherds. And then what else do we see? The angel appeared. Quite common in throughout the Old Testament, you see where God appears to people. And he comes in a great light, or he came in a pillar of fire, or he comes in the cloud, or the angel came and spoke. So it was very clear this was a God moment. So the angel appeared, and the glory of the Lord shone around. There was a bright light, and we know in the bright light, it signified the presence of God. We read this morning, or just a few minutes ago, the first reading of the Advent out of Isaiah 9. And those who walked in darkness saw a great light. Light is God. And in verse 10, the angel brought good news. Or another translation of that is the angel brought the gospel. Verses 11 and 12, we see the detail of that message that the angel had. We see the where. She said the city of David, which is Bethlehem. We see what they would find. They'd find the Savior. They'd find the Christ. They'd find the Lord. This reveals the greatness of Mary's son. You don't just call anyone the Lord. You don't call anyone the Christ, because the Christ is the Greek word for Messiah. The angels are telling the shepherds the Messiah is being born in Bethlehem. This is a big deal. This is a really big deal. And then in verse 13, we have a multitude of the heavenly host. Basically, it's thousands of angels that join this one angel. I don't know about you, but can you imagine being out there in the country and 1,000 angels are singing praise to God? They recognize this was a God moment. This was God. And this was also the announcement of the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. It's possible the shepherds recognized that, but they did recognize God. When they sang those songs, glory to God in the highest, these were similar words that were sung in the temple during sacrifice. This is not a random act. God knew before the beginning of time that he was going to visit these shepherds on the field. And so, as I was reading through this section, it's kind of like, why shepherds? Come on, why shepherds? I think there's a great message to us in this. And the story confirms to us that God speaks to everyone. He speaks to the lowly shepherd instead of the religious leaders of the day. He spoke to the shepherds and not the Pharisees. In fact, the religious leaders of the day weren't real happy with the shepherds. In fact, it said in one book that I wrote, they despised the shepherds because their work kept them from participating in religious activities. They were not religious enough. It's interesting to note that the first people that God that heard of the birth of Christ and the first people who saw the Christ was a group of shepherds and not the religious leaders. And I believe that's important for us to know. One of the values of this church, of Living Christ Church, is we will listen to God. We will listen to God because he speaks to us, just like he speaks to the shepherds. I also believe that the shepherds are part of this story for another reason. God revealed the birth of Jesus first to the shepherds because it presents us with an illustration for guidance that we see in the model of the shepherd and the sheep. Listening plays a big part in the role of a shepherd and his sheep. Sheep know the shepherd's voice, and they listen for his voice. That's how a shepherd leads their sheep. The sheep will listen to the shepherd that they know. They will not listen to the voice of the shepherd they don't know. And they will know the shepherd by listening to his voice. So a shepherd is described as knowing their sheep, and the sheep know their shepherd. So listening is important for leading. Now, I dug back into some archives. When I was a young girl, and I'm the youngest one there, I didn't like the style of the scarf, but it was cold out. Yeah, setting a fashion statement there. But when I was young, we had sheep on our farm, and we just had for a few years, so we didn't have them for long. But they were our friends. This is my sister and my two brothers. They were pretty special to us. We were close to our sheep. In fact, I love this picture because it shows that the sheep line up with the dog. I mean, you've got the kids and the dog, and you got a sheep sitting there. They were our friends. They knew us, and we knew them. And we had some relatives that were visiting, and my sister, actually, I still remember this. I was quite young, but I remember this. She was introducing our sheep to the relatives. And this is Molly, and this is Dolly, and this is Nellie, and this is Perry, and I can't remember the rest of the names. I'm going to have to ask her because I'm sure she remembers. And the relatives said, well, you know, they're looking at this. Well, how do you know? And so my sister, who is so quick, she was so quick. In fact, this is her. She said, just look at their face. This is one that she showed at the local fair, got reserve champion. Just look at their face. It's a unique relationship. The shepherd knows the sheep, and the sheep know the shepherd. The sheep knew us, and we knew them by looking at their face. Sheep are followers only if they know you as the shepherd. And so when the shepherd calls them, the sheep will follow. So in our next section, in verses 50 to 16, we look at follow. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Follow. What do we see here? The shepherds said, let us go. They recognized it was a God moment, but they made a choice to go, to follow. They first listened to God. And God didn't say, I want you to go. He just told them what they would find. There was an open door in front of them, and they had a choice to make. They knew it was God speaking. That was a big God moment. And now it was him they were following. Following plays a big part in the role of a shepherd as he leads his sheep. I have one more picture. But as we talk about following, we realize that a sheep will follow a shepherd, but sheep will also get very agitated if they don't know you. Our sheep, we didn't know all our sheep like best friends, but most of them. But there were those that didn't, and they would stand off to the side, and they would stamp their feet at us. They were agitated because they didn't know us. When they know you, they're peaceful. They follow, just like this picture here. They were peaceful, and they follow. I have one more sheep story. Actually, it's not mine, but it's one that my husband Ben told me about. His neighbor was loading sheep onto a truck. And you always have a ramp, and he's herding the sheep up the ramp. And sometimes sheep are perceived as dumb because they are such followers. And so if you can get the sheep to follow the right thing, they will go. So he's leading them up the ramp. There were some already into the truck. There were some on the ramp. There were some ready to come up the ramp. But the one that was leading in the front decided, no, I don't want to be here. And he turns around. And he starts coming back. And every other sheep turned around and started following back down the ramp. So Ben describes it as his neighbor is standing there and sheep going between his legs, over the side. Sheep everywhere but coming out and following. Sheep will follow only what they know. And they will not go through an open door only because it's open. But they will follow a leader through the door. And so in this case, the leader probably wasn't the right leader at that point. In searching for guidance, we often look for the open door. John Ortberg has a great book. He's an author, and it says, All the Places to Go, How Will You Know? And he talks about the open door. And this quote of his, the ability to recognize doors, to discover the range of possibilities that lie before us in every moment and in every circumstance, is bringing the possibility of God's presence and power into any situation on earth. He calls it a divine opportunity alertness. Looking for the open door. Sometimes the opportunity doesn't involve going to a new place. It means finding a new and previously unrecognized opportunity in the old place. In a sense, this is what happened to the shepherds. They would never be great in the position they were in. They would still be shepherds. But by listening to God and saying, let's go, they found an open door to a kind of spiritual greatness. An open door means opportunity. It can mean mystery. It can mean possibility. But it's not always a guarantee. But Ortberg also writes, to find out what's on the other side, you have to go through the door. That's the choice the shepherds made. After they listened to the angel of the Lord, they chose to go through the door that was before them. They said, let's go. That's the shepherd's part of the story. In the same way, we choose to do our part. Going through the door that is before us, that's when we find God's part. That's when we see what's on the other side. The doors are there, but a more important question is, who are you following through the door? Or whose voice are you listening to in that following? Scripture says the shepherds went with haste and found exactly what the angel said they would find. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby. By listening and following God's voice, they found exactly what and who God said they would find. Listening and following is our part. So we listen and we follow, and then that brings us to a place of knowing. And knowing that's God's part. And in verses 17 to 20, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. What the angels had said was confirmed to them. It said they made known. It means they immediately went and told others. The shepherds told others what they knew by listening, by seeing, and by hearing. And then in verse 20, it said the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Heard and seen is the confirmation because of the shepherds listening and following. They brought the focus back to God. They returned, and then they praised God. They brought the focus back to his part in it, in knowing. I said that listening and following brings us to the place of knowing. Listening and following allowed the shepherds to know the Savior, to know the Christ. I love this quote. We don't listen to God's voice so we can know the answers. We listen so we can know him. This is from a book by Liz Diddy. Her book is God's Many Voices, Learning to Listen. We don't listen to God's voice so we can know the answers. We listen so we can know him. I said, as a church, we will listen to God. This is why we listen to God, to know him. Searching for guidance is to know God first. Shepherds recognize this was a God moment. Are you looking to know God? Are you looking to know answers? Searching for guidance takes on a whole new meaning when we search to know God first. Let me say it another way. We search to know our shepherd, and out of that we find the answers to our questions. As sheep, we search to find our shepherd, and then we will know the answers to our questions. But who's our shepherd? We already looked at a shepherd model of leading, but this is also the Jesus model. Jesus was the perfect example of a shepherd. He calls himself the faithful shepherd. We're shown in Scripture all through this image of Jesus as the faithful shepherd. Things that he said about himself in John 10:14-15. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, and I lay down my life for my sheep. John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Is this sounding familiar? Luke 15:1-6, Jesus teaches parables using the sheep and the shepherd. He tells how he goes after the one lost sheep. He leaves the 99 to go after the one. This makes sense to people who know sheep. This makes sense. Who Jesus is as our shepherd. We search to know our good shepherd. And out of that, we find the answers to our questions. Searching for guidance is seeking and knowing our good shepherd by listening to his voice like the shepherds did. They listened, they followed, and they knew the shepherd. During the time of Advent, it's a great time for reflection. And that's how we are going to end this today. It's a time of reflection. And that's why I think the Friday night service, Quiet Before Christmas, is such a wonderful time. It's a time of reflection. What are you searching for this Advent as you quiet yourself before God right now? What are you searching for? We are invited to search for Christ our Savior this Advent. That's who was born in Bethlehem. If we listen and we follow, then we will see and we will know him. Be active in listening for his voice. So ponder on this week. What are you searching for? Search for the good shepherd, the one who knows you, and you can know him by seeking him. We're going to move into a time of communion, which seems very fitting as we focus on who we are seeking. And so I invite those that are serving communion to come forward at this time. But as we prepare for communion, we see Jesus in the upper room with his disciples shortly before his death. The shepherd who laid down his life for many, for us, before his death was with his disciples in the upper room. And out of Matthew we read, while they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. We are told to do this in remembrance of what he did. So we come together now to celebrate what Christ did for us at Calvary. We take the bread in remembrance of his broken body. We take the cup in remembrance of his blood, which was shed for many. And pray with me now. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in grateful remembrance of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary when he shed his blood to pay the price of our sin. As new creations in Christ Jesus, we realize our freedom has been bought and paid for. We are forgiven. We're washed clean. We're redeemed. And we give thanks for it all in Christ Jesus. Amen. This is an open table, and anyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ is welcome to come. We take communion in community, so we'll ask you to come forward and take the bread together, and then you go and you take the blood and the drink together. There will be servers in the balcony and servers here on each side. So come when you're ready. You're welcome.